in the same chapter, verse 13. And I'm going to read from the NIV this morning. So that's chapter 16, 7 and 8 and 13. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And then on to 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And Lord, may you add wisdom to your word this morning. Amen.
Can you hear me all right? Okay, that's great. Well, it's great to be here. It's great to be back. I have been away for a few weeks. I was leading worship at a conference, a youth conference in Wyoming. Had a wonderful time. Our whole family was able to go, and we were able to spend a bit of time out there as well in the mountains. It's very much like Banff, beautiful place. But it's great to be back as well. Well, this morning is our kickoff to fall ministries. A lot of the fall ministries are starting up this week, so you can refer to your bulletin, look in your bulletin to see all the times and dates of all those the next few weeks. And this morning, we also just wanted to acknowledge our essential workers in the Mount Forest and community area and just say a big thank you to everyone who is on the front lines, who has been on the front lines this past year and a half, working so hard. I know there's lots of people that are exhausted, but a lot of people getting us through this time. And I think, like everyone, we look forward to getting past this time. And amen? Amen. That's right. But this morning, I wanted to just pray for our community, our government, our world, our essential workers as well. And we are going to start off with the Lord's Prayer. So I want to invite you just to stand for a moment and join us, if you will. Let's start off by praying the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, let's pray along. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And I'm going to continue to pray. Lord, you rule and reign over the whole earth, and nothing takes you by surprise. And despite the overwhelming implications that we have had this past year and a half over COVID-19, you promise all things work together for your good through us as Christians. So today, our hope is not in governments of the world. Our hope is in you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the power of your name, the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are asking you for the for your glorious kingdom to come into our broken world. As COVID-19 continues to spread, to produce uncertainty around the world, may millions of people in every nation find healing, safety, security, and salvation as they turn to you in repentance and in faith. And Lord, we thank you for your salvation that you have provided for us. Lord, in an hour when resources are more scarce than other times and things seem to be slower from what we are used to, we thank you for giving us our daily bread, like we just prayed. Lord, provide for our friends, our neighbors, and all those who are hurting in the world. Give supernatural strength, Lord, protection and wisdom to the doctors, nurses, caregivers, scientists, government officials, and spiritual leaders battling this crisis continually, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of sins that might be hindering our relationship with you. Cleanse us of our unbelief, our selfishness, and unrighteous anger. Lord, we choose to forgive those who have offended us, and we cry out for our world to turn to you in repentance. And Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, do not let us be tempted to live in fear or panic or cynicism. And deliver us, Lord, from the effects of COVID. We unite in faith with the millions of other Christians that are around the world worshiping you this day. We ask that you eradicate COVID from our planet and bring revival and awakening to the nations of our world. And Lord, we thank you for delivering us from evil. Again, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, this morning I am speaking a message called Learning to Hear from the Holy Spirit. The last time I was here, I spoke a message on the authority of the Bible, which I felt was imperative to preach on before I gave this message. So if you were not here, please, I encourage you to go back. You can find it on our website. It was a powerful message. I enjoyed preaching that message just about how there is power in the Word of God, and the Word of God is our authority. If I could have slide two, the quote from slide two, please. And I said this in that sermon: once you settle the issues of Jesus being the authority, you must conclude that everything he has spoken is also your authority. Do you remember me saying that? So that, you know, once we know that the Bible is true, that's what we can base truth on. Now, my goal in preaching the message this morning about learning to hear from the Holy Spirit, my goal is to bring some practical steps to this topic. The reason why is because I believe it's such an important topic for all of us to know about. And I believe it's a topic that many of us have not grown up hearing about enough. Or maybe if you've heard about it, maybe you've been afraid of the topic or just not sure what that means. So this morning, I'm going to try and make this, I don't want to say as basic as possible, but we're going to learn some things this morning, and I hope that you can be encouraged by this message this morning. Years ago, I was approached by he'd grown up in my youth group when I was a youth pastor, and he had been to Bible college, one of the most prominent Bible college, and graduated from that. And he came to me afterwards, and he asked me this question: how do you hear from God? And I asked him, tell me what did you learn when you were away this past 4 or 5 years? And he's like, I didn't hear one single topic I didn't have one professor speak on this topic. And that's where I just went, okay, something important and that we need to continue to learn about. Is everything okay with sound? Everything's okay live stream? Okay, I can use a handheld if need be as well. You good? Okay. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us, Lord, through this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I believe that one of the greatest needs in our life is to hear God accurately. I love apologetics. I love learning about the Bible, the importance of the Bible. But at the end of the day, if we don't walk in relationship with our God, if it's all head knowledge and not heart knowledge, it won't sustain us in the long road. It won't sustain us in the hard times. And I am convinced that your faith will be set on fire, that you will know God loves you, that he is for you, because he speaks to you each and every day. How many times are we led by God in our day, but we ignore it or we don't recognize it? And how many times do we try to fix things by mere intellect? And by fix things, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I don't even have to go into that. Whether it's family or relationships or friends or marriages, churches, government, business, things that work, it's endless. And that is why I'm convinced each and every one of us as Christians need to press into this topic. And I'm going to be speaking next week on this topic as well, because I want to press down on this because it's so important to me. And it's so important for each believer to get this. Now, even David in the Old Testament said this in Psalms 85:8. He said, I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. Isn't that good? He was saying, I will listen to what God says. He was listening. He was taking time in his relationship with God to listen to God. And he goes on to say, he promises peace to his people. Now, I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but he promises peace. When God leads us, it's always in peace. And we need to realize that there are life decisions that are in the process of being made that we need to hear God's wisdom on every single day, in big things and small things. Now, whether we hear and follow or not affects our quality of our lives and others and the people around us. And it does even make an impact for eternity. So is hearing God important? Yes, it is. And this brings me to point number one. Hearing God is part of our identity. Oh, that even saying that excites me. Hearing God is part of your identity as a Christian. Now, we first need to establish that hearing God is part of our identity. It's an extension of who we're created to be and what we were created to do. Now, what's the main difference between a believer and an unbeliever? Our spirits are born in Christ. Just like I had preached about the three parts of you a number of weeks ago in the summer, another sermon, go back and listen to it. It talks about how we're created, our body, our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we are created with spirits. And when we accept Jesus into our lives, our spirits are born again. But more importantly, we have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with God. And that relationship, as with every relationship in the world, At the forefront, it's communication. Communication. Now, believe it or not, you heard from the Holy Spirit, from God, even before you were born again. Have you ever thought about that? Do you realize it? It was the Holy Spirit that was, if you will, knocking on your heart, drawing you in to accept Christ in the first place. Now, your spirit wasn't born again. You weren't alive in that, but the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to every single one of us, every single person in the world. The Holy Spirit is even working on your unsaved family members, drawing them in, trying to get through in some way. If you know someone that has fallen away from their faith, I hope you're encouraged by this. It's not just us trying to convince someone to be a Christian. It's us getting in line with what God is doing and what he is speaking. And again, I hope you're encouraged by that. Think about this. God spoke to Adam in the Old Testament. God spoke to Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, Elijah, David, Isaiah, Ezekiel, etc., and many more. And they were, in the Old Testament, they weren't even born again. How much more, since Jesus came and he said, I go away and I leave you something that you need, which is the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to be weirded out by that. And I'm going to prove it to you this morning, okay? So if he did he spoke to all these people in the Old Testament, how much more to you and me today? God hasn't changed his principle of accomplishing his purpose on his earth. And he speaks to people until he finds one who will listen and obey. A pastor I know in the States, Pastor David Thompson, tells this story, and I want to tell it to you. I remember sitting down across the table from a young couple several years ago. The man felt struck in a partnership where he had taken on all the potential liability, where almost none of the decision-making power in his company was on him. He had imagined that this partnership was going to be his dream job with an opportunity to finally own his own business, but due to unhealthy boundaries with the business, his family life was suffering, and he just wasn't happy. In the middle of the meeting, this is Pastor David saying this, I pulled out a timer and we stopped and prayed to hear from the Lord. I wrote down what I heard. He wrote down what he heard, and his wife wrote down what she heard. The three matched almost perfectly, point for point. After hearing from the Lord, he closed his business, and God opened a door to a job that provided more security for his family, a higher income, and was closer to home, all because he took the time to hear from God. Isn't that good? Hearing from God is what distinguishes us as believers. Without hearing God, we make decisions like everyone else in this world. Most of us gather facts and we try to make the best decision possible on those facts. But wouldn't you rather have the fullness of God's knowledge on your side? I think all of us would say yes, right? God knows the big picture in all of our lives, whether it comes to relationships or jobs. And he can lead us in all of those things. God knows the right direction to go. And we have the opportunity to hear his voice. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Isn't that good? Jesus is our shepherd. He guides us, protects us, and cares for us. And the amazing thing is that Jesus explicitly states that his sheep hear his voice. This isn't me saying this. This is the Bible, right? Now, John 10:4 And the New King James Version says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Jesus goes before his sheep. He sets the path. He knows what we need. This is such a fantastic description that explains this in Scripture. Now, years ago, I remember being at a conference where a pastor was actually speaking on this. He had traveled to the Middle East, and he remembers sitting down. There were shepherds, actual shepherds, who came, and they brought all their sheep. All their sheep followed them. And in this field were this like massive sheep. There were like six shepherds there, and they got together to have dinner together. And this guy's going, oh my goodness, are these guys crazy? They don't know anything. They just put all their sheep all in one field. How in the world does this make any sense? But he didn't ask any questions. He had dinner with them. He got to know them. At the end of the night, the first shepherd went to leave. And he went and he made like a call, like a whistle. And he started walking. Literally, that's what the guy did. And all of a sudden, all these sheep in the middle of this pack started to pull away and follow the shepherd. Isn't that amazing? And then another one happened. And the same thing happened. All these sheep started to follow the shepherd. One by one, all six of them knew their place because they knew their master's voice. And that is exactly what this scripture, that's what Jesus is talking about. Isn't that awesome? As we get to know God, you know, I've said this many times, being a Christian isn't just about a ticket into heaven. It's about relationship with God each and every day. And it's exciting when you know God is good, that he loves you, that he is for you. And he's ordering your steps. He's planning things out, things that we can walk in day by day. Hearing God is part of our identity. Thank you, Jesus, that it is. The first week I knew Danielle, I might have not been able to differentiate her voice in a crowd, right? But after spending more time with her, I could easily recognize her voice anytime, right? Today, she doesn't even have to say a word. Just even if it's a phone call, an inflection on the phone, and I know it's her. You married people know what I'm talking about? Or with your children, people you spend lots of time with. Again, if we're together, she doesn't have to say anything. Even a subtle glance, and I know what she's thinking, right? I know when I'm going too long in the sermon. I'm just kidding. I'm amazed at, for moms, moms know this better than anyone. I was always amazed how we could be somewhere and with a couple families and lots of children in the backyard or whatever, in another room. And you know how you hear, all of a sudden you hear someone crying or screaming? And Danielle would just be like, yeah, that's not ours. That's someone else's. And sure enough, the mother would be like, yep, that's mine. They knew their child's scream or cry. You will begin to recognize God's voice the more time you spend with him, the more you study his word and know God's character in Scripture. But it also means spending time in listening, in quiet time, not just speaking, but listening, spending time with him. So how does he lead? He leads us with his voice, and it's very clear. We hear his voice. We don't just sense impressions. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created human beings in his own image, right? We're made in God's image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. He created us with his image so we can communicate and have relationship. Every man, every woman, every child can hear from God. God tells us that our bodies were formed from the dust of the ground, but thankfully, we're not only physical beings, we're also spiritual. God gave us the ability to hear him. Yet some Christians still believe that God doesn't speak. Now, why would a communicative God create us in the image of himself with the ability to communicate, to talk to one another, talk to people over 4,000 years, then just completely stop talking? There's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. God made us with the ability to communicate our deepest feelings with other humans. God made us for relationship. That's why we're here on this earth. At the end of this life, our relationships are what's going to matter. We're not going to care about, I should have made this one more business deal or this or this. It's all going to be based around relationships. God created us that way. He communicates to us. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. It's not just something we do. It's something that we are. This brings us to point number two. We need to follow the inward witness. Romans 8:12-16 says this in the NIV. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are his children. Proverbs 20, I also want to read this scripture. Proverbs 20:27 says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. So let me explain what I meant by following the inward witness. We need to follow the inward witness. Suppose you pray about going a certain direction in your life and you get a check on, or if you, a red light on the inside of you that says, stop, go the other way. Inside of your heart, the world, that's how the world talks, okay? We have to be led by our heart. True love is in the heart. And actually, they're right. It is. It's in the heart. It's in the spirit of us. You don't just feel good about going that direction when you pray about it. That check is your spirit. That check in your spirit is the Holy Spirit telling you not to go in that direction, no matter how good the circumstances look on the outside. On the other hand, if you pray about a matter and you get a go-ahead signal or a velvety-like feeling, that's the only way I can explain it, that is the witness of the Holy Spirit telling you to move forward or to proceed. The Holy Spirit also convicts us of sin, which blocks us from knowing the will of God. If we're walking in sin, it blocks us from knowing the will of God. If we don't renew our minds with the word of God and still fill our minds with the things of the world, we won't hear or even feel conviction because it is not wrong, but because we have chosen by our actions to cut off listening to the voice of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't base our lives off the physical senses or off feelings. Because many times our feelings will tell us that we're not even saved. You can't walk by faith if you're walking by your feelings. It makes no difference whether you feel like something is so or whether you feel you've heard, but if you've heard from God when you prayed. And if the word of God says it, then it's true. If you're moving forward with something and the word of God says something, then you know it's true. We need to base our faith on the word of God. Again, your voice is the voice of your body can many times tell you what's contrary to the word of God. But the Holy Spirit will communicate to your spirit. And again, it will always be in line with the word of God. And this brings us to point number three. How do you hear? We hear through community, the Bible, and prayer. Now, I want to start off with community. Most people begin to hear the Holy Spirit first through someone else. Now, many times we go, oh, well, no, the Bible. And the Bible, we do hear first and foremost, we should, as Christians, take our hearing from God from the Bible, because everything has to line up. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But again, most of us, when we got saved or before we got saved or even after we got saved, it's not necessarily just by opening the Bible and learning from it. It's also from being around Christ-like people who know the Word of God. Think about it. It might have been a parent or a friend or the Holy Spirit that starts working on your heart. Or it might have been a message from a pastor when they're preaching. And you're thinking to yourself, I feel like they're talking right to me. I remember that when I was a teenager going to church and thinking that, walking away going, wow, that message spoke to me. It was incredible. But I walked away going, I'm not even sure what the title of that message was. It's because the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. Have you ever listened to a podcast or a message and go, oh, that is a good message? That is not you just approving your message. It's usually the Holy Spirit giving you space to talk to your heart, to your spirit, to go, oh yeah, that's good. And it draws us in for some reason. Sometimes people say, Lord, use me. I will do whatever you want to do, until sometimes he tells you where to go. But as believers, we know God. We know he wants to reach our community. He wants to use us. He's going to. We are the salt of the earth. We are his hands and feet in our community. Just a couple weeks ago, I heard a story of a teenage girl. She was pregnant. She was working at a gas station. She said to herself, God, if you're real, please let me know. All of a sudden that day, she went to work, and there was a man who was pumping gas who came in to pay. And he went to walk out, he turned around, came back, and said, look, I don't know you, but I just feel like I need to tell you something. And I just want to tell you that I believe that God sees you and loves you. God sees you and loves you. And that spoke to her and just helped her through that situation. I've heard of many, many testimonies. There are endless testimonies of someone saying, I felt like I was supposed to buy food for this couple or for this family. And that's exactly what they were praying about. God can use us in everyday situations. I heard just 2 weeks ago of a pastor. He was telling a story about how last Christmas it was Christmas Eve, and he was at the grocery store getting some last minute things because it was going to be closed on Christmas Day. And there was one short line. So he went to that short line, and all the other lines were long. And he's like, okay, I got to get out of here quick. It's Christmas Eve. I need to get home. And all of a sudden, all these other lines are moving faster than all of his. And he goes, oh, I realize people know that, you know, they get a sense that this line's shorter. And he was getting angry. He was furious by the time he got up to pay for it, because this woman was working slowly. But he had a choice to make. Do I react? He's like, I'm a pastor in this community. He said, do I react out of the flesh, or do I try to react in a different way? React as the Bible has taught me. So he actually said, as opposed to saying anything bad, he said, ma'am, how are you doing this evening? Are you doing all right? And she goes, oh. She says, I am so sorry. I know I'm working so slow. She said, today is the anniversary of my husband's death. And I was made to work. And he had the opportunity to pray with her. That's how God works in our communities. Sometimes it's just smiling to someone who needs it. In this world, man, there is offense at every corner. But we need to be, we don't need to be reactors. We need to be God, we need to be people who pulls the plug and does the opposite to help people. But God can lead us. I want to tell you one more story. Years ago, I was running a kids program. And I just started this program up. There were lots of kids and parents picking kids up I didn't know. And all of a sudden, this husband and wife came in to pick up their children to this program. And the man was standing closer to me. The wife was in another conversation with someone else. And if you will, the thought came to my mind, because at the church we had a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University course coming up. And in my mind, something came to my mind that said, tell this man about this financial course. And at first I was like, I looked at the guy and I'm like, I don't even know this guy. How am I supposed to start telling him about coming to our church? So I pulled back for a minute. I'm just like, and I looked at this guy. This guy looked, he was tough. Let me just say that. He was a tough dad. But you know what? I have missed it at times like that. This was a time that I did do it. And I went up and just started and simply said, hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm a pastor of this church. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be starting a course called Financial Peace University. And I just started telling him about this. And as I'm telling, you could see his wife kind of going, like looking over the shoulder, and she leaves her conversation, comes back in, and is like, did you say you're running a financial course and it's free? And we had an accountant that was going to be there to even help people with their finances. And that couple, I didn't know this, but they were in financial need. And they came to the course, and it helped them tremendously. And it was a simple thing where the Lord taught me about hearing his voice to help someone else in need. Next week, I'm going to tell you a few other stories about some friends of mine who've been led by the Lord. But we're going to move on from that right now. A couple more scriptures that I want to just cover. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs, so it's, again, it says counsel. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Proverbs 24:6, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. This is one of the easiest ways to hear from God. Surround yourself with godly people. When you get off of course, they will help you get back on course. Now, not every counselor, I'm not going to get into that. Again, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And I'm going to I have two more things that I had mentioned, the Bible in this point and prayer. And I'm just going to touch on these because of time, and I'm going to come back to it. That's where we're going to start next week, okay? But I am just going to mention that every truth in the Bible, every truth in God's word is either a commandment in God's word, it's actually a promise of the Holy Spirit that is going to lead to life and peace. The Bible is the authority of God. It's God's word. God speaks to us. You want to hear God? Read his word. that is God's word. And what the Bible says is our truth. So when the Bible says that we're forgiven, we're forgiven. Let me give you an example of this real quickly. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." I can read this verse and say, man, that's a great verse. I might even get out my highlighter or my pen and underline it or highlight that verse. We can identify that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through that verse. Everything in God's word is a promise of the Holy Spirit, whether it's a truth or a commandment. And I believe that this verse is a commandment. It says, be kind, compassionate, forgiving each other. I'm going to get in your face on this. Are you doing this? Are you walking according to this? If that's the Bible's commandment, we need to do it. Be kind to one another. We are representatives of the Lord in our community. The most Bible that anyone will ever see is through us. And if we can't even be kind, there are lots of non-Christians that I know that are kind, sometimes kinder than Christians. We need to be the kindest people on the face of the earth so that people will recognize us as Christians. We need to be compassionate to each other. And we need to walk in forgiveness. And I know that's a hard thing to do sometimes. Sometimes it means having some hard conversations. Sometimes it means giving someone grace and going, hey, we're all not perfect. We're trying to figure this out together. There is power through coming together, being kind, compassionate, and walking in unity, walking in forgiveness each and every day. Find me a couple Christians like that. We can rule the world. That will be a people that God will use greatly in their community. And the other one is prayer. How many times do we try to work things out and not come to the Lord in prayer? If prayer is a relationship, is a communication tool that God uses, we need to spend time in prayer. Not just telling God our needs and what we want. It's not about that. The Bible actually promises that He will give us the desires of our hearts if we put Him first. If we're not putting God first and coming to Him and having communication with Him, it won't necessarily allow the Lord to work in our lives. And we might miss out on relationships and friendships that God is trying to put together. I am so thankful. I'm serious. This message, this is why I'm speaking 2 weeks on it, and I should be, if I, anyway, should be a part of all of our lives all the time. But I'm thankful for Christians who are in my life who came to me during hard times in my life, in hard situations to encourage me. Or to even say, JP, I'm not sure about this. To correct me. And that's why it's so good to have mentors. I have a number of mentors that I speak to on a regular basis that can speak into my life, people I trust, godly counsel. And they have helped me through years I want to say, saved me from years of trouble, pits of destruction, but they have helped me and encouraged me. And everyone needs mentors in their life. And a mentor isn't just someone that can come to you and say, hey, I'm going to call you up all the time. Yeah, sometimes that happens. But it's someone that you can call up and say, hey, this is what's going on, or this is the situation. Let's sit down, have coffee, talk, be open, honest, vulnerable. God is speaking to you in your everyday lives. It is awesome. He wants to transform the people and the situations around you. He always leads us with peace, just like that opening scripture talked about. Always. If there's not peace in it, stay away from it. Don't move. Don't have to make a quick decision. Does God fill you with peace? And again, God never tells you to do something that is opposite to his word. The word of God is truth. And even if we get counsel, that does not trump the word of God. Make sense? Because that takes a lot of weird out of things. It takes a lot of things of people going, oh, God has called me to divorce my wife and marry someone else. God hasn't called people to do that. God doesn't speak that way. It's the complete opposite of what the Word of God teaches. And there's many, many situations where people have missed it because of they're not putting the Word of God first in their life and prayer. Did you learn something today? I hope so. I hope it's a meaty topic, but I hope you can leave encouraged. And every day that you can think about this, doesn't matter the age, I'm amazed at how my children can hear from God and be led by God. It's awesome. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can be led by you, that you speak to us, that we can come to you in prayer, that you answer us, that you promise that you're always with us, no matter where we go, no matter what situations we're in. Lord, that you give us the strength to be kind, to be compassionate, to forgive. And we choose to lay down all the areas of our life where we're not walking in forgiveness, because you call us to do that. And we choose to walk in unity. We choose to walk in your will for our lives. And we choose to follow you with our whole heart, Lord. Forgive us where we have missed it, Lord, because all of us have missed it sometime, somewhere in our lives. Lord, thank you that you forgive us. But thank you, Jesus, that you have taken every sin on the cross, that you bore it, that you have given us your righteousness. And thank you that we can celebrate that today through communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite Rod up at this time to lead us in a time of communion.
That. There we go. Technology, isn't it great? This morning we want to take some time to remember. That's what we're here to do, is to sit in God's presence and not just attack on a little piece at the end of the service of just some bread and some juice, but to do as Jesus said, to remember what he did for us at the cross. And so if you know Jesus this morning, if he is your Savior, if you have invited him to be Lord of your life, we encourage you to take the bread and to take the juice and to remember. And so I'm going to pray this morning and just spend some time in his presence, remembering what he did for us. Let's pray. Father, in our mind's eye, I pray this morning that you would help us to visualize that supper time that you had with your disciples, that upper room, that table set with food and drink, and the fellowship that they enjoyed together with you, and you knowing that this was your last meal with them, your last earthly meal with them. And you taught them, as you teach us this morning, to take and eat, to take and drink. For you are good. What you bring into our lives is not just sustenance through physical food and drink, but really what we need to depend upon is your spiritual life that comes from knowing that our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, that by your broken body at the cross, our sins are forgiven and we are given new life by placing our faith in you. And that is the grace gift that you offer us all. So remind us, not just today, but every day, that you are the one who sustains us and that we have been given the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. So take and eat and drink this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.